Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem. Shalom Bayis, Shir number 557. We're in the Sefer Binyan Bayis, Living Marriage by Moshe Shacharowitz. We're in Lesson 2, called A Deeper Look into Intimacy. When the Raiva describes children of strife, which is children that come from a couple that is arguing all the time, it doesn't mean that they're arguing all the time. But if they're in that state of argument, that's a problem. And again, it's a problem not just because of the children that rules under that union, even if there's no children involved, even if there's no children being conceived, but in that state of a state of argument, they should not have relations when that is happening. So the Shulchan Aruch does say in Reish Mem, Im ha yalo kasi ma, if there's anger between them, asa l'shamash achi yifaisena, it's forbidden for him to have relations with her unless he pacifies her, he appeases her. The Yachal Sapri Ima Kaidim Tashmish, and he could speak to her before intimacy, Kedela Ratzaisa, in order to pacify her and to appease her. So it's clear that if they are feeling that argument state, they should not be together. And even if generally they're in harmony. But again, there are leniencies for this. They could put their differences aside and they could be intimate with each other, and that's perfectly fine. Like we said in the last year, you don't disrupt your regular marital intimate life because you have arguments. You figure out a way that at least during the time of intimacy or close to intimacy, that you could put those feelings aside and be in a state of harmony during that time. It's possible and it's doable. He has a beautiful yesod here regarding Yaakov, Avinu. And again, in the beginning, we know that Yaakov did not begin his relationship with Leah in a complete state of love. It's clear from the Torah's words. It says that Leah was hated, which is troublesome when you read about it. Again, we don't understand the Shvatim. We realize they're beyond our comprehension, their greatness. But we're going to talk about the Raivit explaining this, though. And he asks that question. If the B'nai Senua is a problem, the Raivit asks, right? We just said children of hatred, children of, or people, you know, a couple that's in the state of argument. So then how could you say that basically half the Shvatim, all the children of Leah, they're B'nai Senua? They're B'nai Senua. It says Senua Leah, right? And they're the children. And the unions with Leah was with in this Senua state. So you're going to say that half the Shiftei Yisrael were B'nai Senua? So the Raivid gives two answers to this. Answer number one, Hasnua Shamarnu Shasnua Meruchekes B'Shas Tashmish, the hatred which is forbidden is expressed at the time of relationship, of the relationship itself. Shrei Leo Imenu Hayasnua B'Tei Rachel, because Leo was hated before Rachel. V'afal Pi Kain, but nevertheless, when he was together with Leah, at the time of their union, she was beloved to him. So that's his first answer. His first answer was that even if there was Senua, whatever Senua means with Yaakov Avinu, beyond the comprehension what it means, but whatever that state of Senua was that the Torah says was between Yaakov and Leah, but at the time of intimacy, when they were intimate together, that what did not take place. There was no hatred, there was no senua, there was no lack of love there. Ritzuya Haisalafanov, she was beloved to him at the time of the union. That's his first answer. His second answer, Oydye Shleimar, she kara atzma senua, she called herself senua, right? Ruvein ki senua anoichi. She called herself that way. She perceived it that way. Because she knew and she sensed that Yaakov did not love her like he loved Rachel. But he, in reality, she was not hated. That second teretz just takes it out completely. And basically is saying, is Leah's feeling. That because Yaakov didn't love her as much as he loved Rachel, that's what Leah felt, so she felt senua. But in reality, Yaakov, there was never a senua there. He loved Rachel. He loved Leah. He loved Leah very, very much. and she was never hated by him. So it was never a problem. But even according to the first answer, that there was some type of animosity in his madrega, whatever that's supposed to mean, Yaakov removed those traces from his heart at the time they were together. Leah was beloved to him, found favor in his eyes. He may have been upset with Leah because he felt that she tricked him that time when it came with the love and the whole story. But he, at the same time, Yaakov recognized that she was a very, very righteous. Yaakov recognized that she was a tzaddikus. Yaakov recognized that she was worthy to be his wife, and she was not worthy to be Esau's wife. And he brought himself to see her favorably. That has to be. He was don lekavschos, and he was able to overcome whatever that tznua aspect was, certainly at the time they were intimate together. So sometimes a couple can have a disagreement. Sometimes can be in a state where there's tension in their everyday relationship, but everyone has that ability to rise above that immediately discord, recognize in the bigger picture the reason of what they're arguing doesn't affect the foundation of their relationship. They could look beyond the conflict to allow the true love to surface, and then it's totally permitted to engage in intimacy, even if they both know that their problem was not permanently resolved. Like I said, if you're going to wait for a perfect scenario, you'll never be intimate. So even if you two are in a disagreement where it's not reconcilable, it's not resolvable, that doesn't mean you don't have intimacy. What it means is you put aside, accept that, put it aside and said, our foundation is solid. We love each other despite this disagreement with one another. And we remove that from our minds and our hearts. And then we could be intimate with one another, without a problem whatsoever. So they have to try their best, yes, to remove any negativity from their hearts. And if not, then it's problematic. If they're extremely upset at one another, then it's better to, you know, hold off till, you know, the next night, to let them calm down and schedule another night. But again, you can't constantly do this. You can't constantly push things off. You can't constantly change the structure of the marriage. So you talk to a Rav about it if you're worried about this. But the idea being is that we do have that ability to do so. We have the ability to do so. But it is very important to do everything we can to remove that negativity. By the way, it's me, the Kenegan Me, that's a big source. What will help people with this is to recognize that if you do this and you try to remove any resentment that you have towards your husband, towards your wife, even if you had a fight, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will remove his resentment from you, even when you did something wrong. It's Mida Keneged Mida. Very, very important. Now, another one, of course, is B'nei Shikaira. You take a drink, which means that you're having relations in an intoxicated state. It doesn't mean that if you have a small drink, I'm not endorsing drinking wine every night or whatever it is, but if a couple does happen to drink wine Friday night or whatever it may be, so they could have drinks, it means heavily intoxicated. If the husband is drunk the night of Purim, you know, and they're going to be intimate Purim night, or it's mikveh night, Purim night, he should not have relations if he's highly in that state of mind. He shouldn't. And again, in this lacking of love, then it's an act sort of technically like an immoral act. That's the idea. The Igeres HaKodesh of the Ramban Perek Vav says it as follows. Oisei HaChibur, this union, if not performed with a great desire, love, and goodwill, the divine presence will not rest with it. So there needs to be a desire. And again, when he says great desire, again, you got to be realistic about it. Sometimes people have lower libidos and not in the, you know, they're not fully into it. That's okay. That does not what it means that you, again, you don't, otherwise, if you're going to wait for ideal situation, you'll drift apart. You're going to wait till whenever. So you have to be realistic about it, but there needs to be a certain degree of healthy desire, healthy love, healthy goodwill. And then the Shekhinah is there. Lo nitna tayra lemalachei hasharis. We're just trying to stress the love and the removal of animosity that needs to be here. And because of this love, the Menorah HaMa'ariv says, it's a big schus. It'll bring, if there is children conceived from those unions, it'll be very healthy and beautiful children that will come as a result. And the idea is this love that fuels the intimate relationship needs to fuel the daily relationship as well. Even during situations where a couple is forbidden to engage in marital intimacy, need a period, women's menstrual cycle does not mean that they're temporarily divorced. Unfortunately, you have in many circles and in many couples in all different degrees of frumkeit that when there is the need a period and the physical intimacy is not there, they're sort of like temporarily divorced. It's very, very sad. All it means is they cannot reach that highest expression of unity that comes through physical intimacy, but their inner connection has to be radiating and be strong as a unifying love in the Nida state. The proof of this is from a Gemara Erev in Samach Gimel Amud Beis. It's a fascinating Gemara. Rabbruna in the name of Rat says, that Kolayosha Bekila She'ishva Ishtei Mitzuyim Ba, anyone who sleeps under a canopy that a husband and wife are dwelling in, the verse, the pasuk says that the women of my nation have been divorced from their house of their pleasure. It's because you're holding back a marital union. If someone, put this sneeze aside, he's fully clothed, they're fully clothed, he's on the other side of a room, whatever it is, or right nearby and there's an open door so they can't be together that way, whatever it is. Anoshi ami tegarshin, you are kicking out, you're divorcing the women of my nation, me based Hanugah from the house of their pleasure. Because you're holding back that physical relationship between a husband and a wife. But then Rabbi Yosef says a bit chiddush. Rabbi Yosef, afila be'ishtoi nida. Even if a wife is in her menstrual cycle and is forbidden to be with her husband, but if there's somebody there that interferes with them being alone, you are divorcing her and moving her away from the house of her pleasure. You see from Chazal clearly that even when marital relations are forbidden, simply sleeping in the same room is described as a woman's house of pleasure. Mi beis tanugeha. Why? Because of an inner intimacy that is there between a couple. Even in the nida period, there is a deep intimacy when a husband is in his own bed, a wife is in his own bed, her own bed. It could be felt. When they're attuned to each other, they do feel it. Where they're deeply, deeply connected, even when physical intimacy cannot happen. Rabbeinu Tam in Tosis Yevamos Samach Beis, Amud Beis, Devar Masal Chiyuv, says that even when a husband is forbidden to have physical intimacy with his wife, he should still fulfill his obligation of intimacy through words of affection. Chayv Adam Lifkeid Es Ishtoi, Omer Rabbeinu Tam says, the Pekida Zu Eina Tashmish. This remembrance is not the physical union, the sexual union. V'yidaber Aliba, he speaks to her heart. V'afa Pisha Osa L'shamish, even though it's forbidden to have relations when she's a Nida. Mekom Mokim Simcha V'tainug Hula, it, meaning the talking to her, with affection will make her happy. V'tainug Hula, and will be pleasurable. You see clearly that a husband has a chiyuv oina, even when he's not allowed to touch his wife. Triggering things to say, you know, that could cause something physical, that's a different story. But there's many, many words of affection, many, many types of warm, kind, loving words that is totally mutter, not even mutter, encouraged to say in the nida period, that should be said in the nida period between a husband and wife. And there's a chiyuv oina then. That's what the Rabbeinu Tam is mechadish here. There is a chiyuv oina then. Very, very important to know. Very, very important to know. This concept, many people have this misconception that Gedolei Yisrael can't love their wives. The opposite is true. It's impossible that the true, real tzaddikim of Am Yisrael did not love their wives on all three levels, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. Otherwise, there would be some technically immoral type of thing. It's well known, Zev Soloveitchik and the Stipler, both of those specifically, were very involved in the love and reinforcement of their own married relationship, Shlomo Zalman Orbach and his wife as well, and so on. It's interesting. Here's another thing to understand how deep it is. And again, when Hashem places a matzav, if let's say a wife was very, very ill, or a husband, and physical intimacy wasn't able to take place because of their, or that much because of their physical union, was sort of inhibited because of that, there could still be a beautiful, beautiful shalom bayis there. So he brings a story where a gadol lost his wife, who had been sick with many diseases in the past 25 years of her life. And someone was paying condolences to that person, and a certain Jew tried to console him by explaining, Hashem saved you now from the pain and anguish that you had from constantly taking care of your sick wife. And the mourner got upset and said, remove everyone from before me. And when everyone left, the gadol sat alone with his family and explained over in a several-hour discussion about the depth of true marriage. And he explained that although in heaven they decreed that his wife needed to suffer from her sickness, that had nothing to do with the depth of their close relationship. And he cried. He said, I'm left without a wife. I'm a broken vessel. This individual is telling me that Hashem is showing me kindness, so I won't need to suffer by living with a sick woman. He has no concept of what shalom bayis is. You know, we live in this superficial world. We don't realize what love between husband and wife could be. And to make such assumptions is so insensitive and wrong. The idea being is that you need those three levels of love. If Hashem denies it for whatever reason, min hashamayim, like cholila, a contracted illness or whatever it is that holds back a physical union, that Hashem fills it in. Remember that when we're talking about the importance of a physical intimate union, we're talking about people that are in relative good health or even not so relative good health, but they're able to be intimate. They should make the effort to have that physical intimacy. But if it's taka blocked completely, you know, then Hashem fills it in other ways. So you have to know each person in their matzav, where they are. And we always have to daven for people. When you daven for couples and you daven for people for shalom bayis, you always ask for their physical health, their emotional health, and their spiritual health, all three, because all three aspects of the bonding between a husband and wife are important. The idea also, if there's negativity, there's an obligation of pius. We'll talk about pius. That's really lesson number three, the pius, that takes place, so they could share intimacy. It's not enough to say, I don't want to apologize, you're upset, I don't want to apologize. That's a saying, I don't want to put on tefillin today. Just like a man has to put on tefillin and daven every day, a couple has that obligation. Living on the straight path, which means that they work very hard to maintain and strengthen their daily connection with one another. That's what he expects of us. That's the essence of marriage itself. And that is important, and it's doable. I'm going to say this again. We don't have to be greatest tzaddikim. It is doable to remove resentment. It is doable that even if you disagree with things, to be able to remove that upsetness to a point where that strong love is felt and that there would be no issue. There would never be an issue of delaying intimacy because of ill will. Because you will know how to suspend it and to treat each other with love and respect. And that's an avodah, and that is something that we need to work towards. And it creates, when you work through this, a tremendous amount of healing and strengthens marriages in the most unbelievable ways. Bracha v'atzlacha.